Well, guys, we're in Isaiah, so grab a Bible. Using one that you're on, you brought, or just there in the chairs in front of you, page number on the screen, electronic device, any of those options work, but do be with us as we want to be here in Isaiah, just looking at what God has for us in chapter 46, longing that he would speak it to us in real ways. We are working through the whole Bible on Wednesday nights, kind of chapters at a time, and so tonight our desire is that God would take this chapter and both help us to feel it in the midst of it, but he would just communicate it to us in a real way. So let's begin in asking him for that. Just asking that he would take his word and he'd help us to hear it, and it would just be to us what he has in store for that, believing that he is faithful, that he's wanting to work in that right now. Let's ask him to open this to us. Father, it's good. It is so good to just come before you and recognize your faithfulness, your goodness, to recognize what your word is to us, truth, reality, life. Lord, what you would do in this moment, God, would be for our good. Help us to understand this chapter, to see what it is and what it's saying. Give us just clarity there. But God is our Father, as one who is working in us, not just together, but individually. Take what's here before us and then speak it to our lives individually. I recognize that's going to be different around the room. We're going to, if we hear you, it's going to be precise. And you're so good at that. I could never do that, but you can. I pray you would. I pray by the Spirit of God you'd speak to us now. Soften our hearts. Open our ears to hear. We ask for that right now as we trust this time into your good and faithful care. We ask for that as we trust it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God's word does us good. I just want to begin with this understanding that this is the word of God, that God speaks to us, that he speaks to us through his word, and what that does in us, it can transform us. It can work in us in ways that correct us at times, where it highlights we're on a wrong course. It can do ways where it encourages us and it strengthens us, it informs us. And yet one of the interesting things the Word of God can also do is it can inoculate us. It can protect us from going down roads that we should not go down. That's a little bit what we have in front of us here this evening, as chapter 46 is a moment that God speaks into his people, into the nation of Israel, and it is to prevent them from a failure and a folly that would clearly be laid before them. It is, in that sense, to be preventative and to inoculate them against that falling. And so I want you just to feel that and see that. To that end, it's helpful if you just are reminded where we are. So again, we're using this timeline. I don't know if it's helpful or not. You get a chance to just see history moving forward. And so Isaiah's ministry, runs from the, 40-something to around 680 B.C. So B.C., you're counting down. I know that you guys kind of know that. But yeah, we're moving down in that. And so his ministry lays in a very specific moment in time. The northern kingdom, Israel, goes into captivity, but the southern kingdom is declining. And it's less than 100 years from when Isaiah prophesies that they're about to face one of the most difficult roads they've gone through. They're about to go into the Babylonian captivity, and Isaiah's ministry is warning them about that, calling them away from that, something that they're heading towards as a people and as a nation, but they're going to go. In 586 BC, in the final deportation, they have three of them that kind of take them kind of into the nation of Babylon. Judah is literally carried away out of Israel into modern-day Iraq, into a place where they stay for, 70 years in that space of God disciplining them. And that's coming. That's coming. And so Isaiah is telling him about this. And yet, if you were with us last week, we talked a little bit that God is also telling him what's going to happen after that. So at the end of that captivity, God's going to bring them back home. Through Cyrus, he's going to be there. Cyrus is going to make a proclamation that's going to allow them to return. And so we saw that last week. In one of the most prophetically just wild sections, God names Cyrus, 100 years before he's born, 150 years before he does anything, and tells us, this is how I'm going to fix this. Like, this is where we're going, and this is what's going to happen, and this is how we're going to get out of that, which is, again, so incredibly powerful. But make no mistake, it's coming. There is a, you know, this day of judgment that they deserve, that they are even presently earning, and God is telling them about how that's going to happen and how he's going to fix it. And so in this chapter, he begins to warn them of days that will be theirs in that time under Babylon and that Babylonian captivity. You might just notice it as it begins in verse 1. It says, Bel bows down, Nebo stoops. Their idols were on beasts and on the cattle. So Bel, Nebo, those are Babylonian gods. Those are idols. And so you get Nebuchadnezzar. He gets his name from that, from Neb is that first part of it. You have Belshazzar and Belteshazzar, both taken from these Babylonian idols, the gods that they primarily kind of look to. And so God is just knowing this coming. I mean, again, this is 100 years before it happens, but he sees that they're going to be taken to Babylon. And when they get there, there's going to be this reality. They're going to find themselves into captivity. And if they don't understand, if they don't kind of understand where they are and what's happening, they would maybe, you know, be kind of moved into think, okay, are the Babylonian gods stronger than Yahweh? I mean, it kind of looks that way. I mean, it kind of looks that way in the moment. It would seem like Babylon's winning, Israel's losing. So if this is a contest of gods, well, are their gods bigger? Are their gods stronger? And God is saying, no, they're not. Those aren't even really gods. Those are just idols. I mean, they are nothing in those ways. He's reminding them, I'm doing this. The reason you're going into captivity isn't because of the Babylonian gods. It's because of your sin. And he is going to allow them to kind of move into that place. He's going to do that. And yet he's telling them already, I'm going to bring you out of that. And he already told them, again, Cyrus. And we'll see him quickly referred to again tonight, where he's letting them know that if they could see what's coming and they could see how it's happening, then they'll be able to understand, no, God is over this. God is the one who's raising Cyrus up. God is the one who's doing that. And so, well, once more, I think it's clear. Or at least I hope it's clear. If they can believe this, if they will understand this, then the temptation that would be there once they're in that hard space, they won't fall into. That they wouldn't become worshipers of Bel, they wouldn't become worshipers of Nebo, they would be ones who would look on this and say, this is God. Now, surely, you know, probably some Jews do this. I mean, not all, when the Cyrus makes the proclamation to come back, they don't all return. But one of the interesting things is, for those who kind of are students of history, they pretty much are cured of idolatry. You know, when they come back into the land, you know, under Ezra and Nehemiah, idolatry is not one of the things that once more resurface. Between that time and the time of Christ, they don't do, you know, the folly that they'd done several times in their history where they would build gods to Baal or build, you know, altars to Ashtoreth. They don't do that. Like it's as if one thing they learn is, like, not doing that again. And so one of the interesting things, at least for me, is like, I wonder how well this worked. I mean, believe in the Word of God. I wonder how well passages like this were just, you know, light bulbs that they, again, were able to see it. I don't know. You don't have that record, but I can know this. This is the Word of God, and with all my heart, I want to tell you that's what he's doing. And so we want to see that tonight. We want to see this in a way that would be helpful to us. And maybe, as we look on these things, there will be present things that God puts his finger on in your life and says, that is a really dumb thing to be doing, and that's a really wrong way to be thinking. That'll be good. But it might also be that if we cover this well, God might inoculate you. I mean, there might be things coming as like, okay, I already know better. Like, I already know. I mean, this is telling me a very different story. And I believe this. And so I'm longing that God would do both tonight. That he would be presently in us, but he would do exactly what I believe this chapter is, which is a little bit of inoculation, which is a space of keeping them and keeping, hopefully, us from such folly. Well, let's begin. making our way through. And so he begins by helping us kind of look at these idols. And he tells us there in verse 1, he says, Bel bows down, Nebo stoops. Their idols were on the beasts and on the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaded. So again, you're almost meant to imagine this. Like they're carrying their gods. They got their idols. And man, it's weighty. I mean, they've just got them on the cattle. They got the beast. They're heavily loaded. They're burdens to this weary beast that's hauling these gods around. They stoop, verse 2. They bow down together. They could not deliver the burden. But they themselves have gone into captivity. God looks at this, and again, if you can just think it through simply, literally this is what's happening. I mean, their gods are having to be carried on animals. I mean, they literally have to be, you know, to do anything, they have to be moved, and it was a labor-intensive thing in the midst of this. And he calls us to see this, and he lets us know they can't carry themselves. They can't even fix themselves. They're looking on, you know, this whole thing. They said, you know, they look there. They can't even deliver the burden. They can't even help carry, the load in the midst of it. Instead, they become those that, you know, they won't deliver. They won't deliver Jews from the captivity, nor Babylon from their captivity. Yeah, because that's what's going to happen. And we'll talk more about that in the next chapter. But Babylon, who's God's going to use to discipline Israel, is then going to be disciplined by Cyrus. And they're going to be kind of, it's like your gods aren't going to do you any good. They're not going to help. They don't deliver. I mean, these gods can't help anybody. And he's just inviting us to understand it. And it's really helpful. And right, if we just make sure we have that clear understanding. So man-made gods have to be carried by men. All other gods in our world are man-made and man-sustained, period. There are no other gods. I mean, God has been making that very, very clear. He said it over and over. He'll say it again tonight. There's no other gods. It's not like, that we think about Islam, kind of serving, Allah, we think about Buddhist gods, or we think about this, and I just want to tell you, there's no gods there. Somebody invented it. Somebody made that. And today, the only reason those movements carry on is because somebody's keeping them going. Because men both create it and sustain it, but they can't actually help. They can't carry themselves. They can't do that. And he's just inviting us to make sure that we see it that way. And again, I think about us here on Wednesday night. It is probably not something you struggle with, maybe. Maybe someone here tonight is. Like, you're like, well, I like God, I like church, but, these people that serve Allah and, maybe that's going to work out for them. No, it's not going to work out for them. Those are man-made gods who can't do anything, and they're only supported by man. Well, if you can see that, then the contrast becomes equally and powerfully clear, because as God holds these man-made gods carried by men, he then flips that around and helps us to understand. We think about who he is. He's the one that carries us. Notice this in verse 3. It says, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, whom I have been carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. And even to your gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear, and even I will carry and deliver you." Yeah, the situation, the story couldn't be more opposite if you tried. We think about what it is to be a follower of Jesus. We think about what it is to be his people. He says, I want to make sure you understand, like from the very beginning of life for you, I carried you. Now that's true physically. I mean, God is our creator and sustainer. It is 10 times, 100 times, a million times more of our salvation. That when we think about what it is to be his people, and that's who he's speaking to. He's speaking to his people. And he's telling them, I'm the one that did that. I like the way it tells us there in Peter that, it's through the resurrection of Christ that God caused us to be born again. that we find ourselves, if we are followers of Jesus here this evening, God was in that moment. I mean, from the very moment you got saved, from the moment that you prayed and you cried out to God and you were born again, God was upholding you. God was the source of that. And he carried you. He was there bearing and being a part of it. He was the one causing you to be born again. And then he just takes us through our life and he helps us to think this through, that he says, okay, from that moment of birth all the way through life and even to your old age, he says, I'm going to keep carrying you. Like I started carrying you. I in the midst of it, I carried you, and I'm going to carry you then. Again, I like it. I just want to read it again. He just says it. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, verse 3, and all the remnant of the house of Israel who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. And even to your gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear and I will carry and will deliver you. So as we process this, I mean, can I just say a few things that just are true that maybe you know and just get a chance to think through? So the older we get and the more that happens in life, it's a course of life that moves us into a place where, you know, you kind of, you're born as a child and very, very dependent on your parents and you can't do anything, you know, they have to change your diapers, they have to do everything. And then life becomes a place where you have this seeming independence, like nobody's really independent, but hey, it kind of feels that way. But then there just begins this decline where you begin to find out like, okay, I'm moving to a place that I need people more. It's actually a hard thing. I mean, I understand that you guys probably understand. We look on this and there's a fear that a lot of people have. Maybe not you, but maybe you. There is that fear that sometimes people think, okay, what if I get older and I'm a real burden to my family? Like, what if it's hard and they have to care for me in a way that I'm not happy about, they're not happy. What if that's my road? I mean, what if that works like, and God just wants us to understand he's never gonna be that way. Like, people can, and sometimes do, and most times they don't, but it can happen. But God looks at us and says, I will never stop carrying you. I will never get to the place that's like, you know, you're becoming quite a burden. Like, you know, like, I don't know if I want to keep doing that anymore. No, he says, when I look at this, and I look to this place where you decline and where, you know, age becomes a factor in your world, I just want you to know, I got you. Like I'm carrying you all the way to the end. I mean, that's just a powerful reality. I don't know about anybody else here this evening, but I really appreciate.